This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every star's a wishing star that shines for you. April love is all the seven wonders. One little kiss can tell you this is true.
How about a little April love for us, huh? We need some love. That's Pat Boone telling us how April is a lovely month, and we're glad you're with us. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am back. I am back from what was supposed to be a vacation, and I was going to go out to Palm Springs, California. But that got canceled in the pandemic. So I was reduced to walking from one room to another. That was kind of my vacation. Let's see. Maybe I'll go to the rec room. No, I think I'll go to the family room. No, I think I'll go into the bedroom. No, how about the bathroom? No, I'll go to the kitchen. So I had to plan my day.
It's like my weekends. I'm getting so bored. I'm looking forward to work on Monday.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Well, it is good to be back here. And good to see you, Ed. Ed is our, he is the glue here. I mean, not just for me, for the entire station. But thanks for joining us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. In a few minutes, Kent Lastman of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us. We're going to talk about government regulations that we got to get rid of, especially now during the pandemic. So stay tuned for that. And China may be turning into an even bigger villain in this crisis than before. They're trying to corner the market, apparently, on personal protective equipment. Wow. You know, if I was China, I think I'd be doing everything I could possibly do to ingratiate myself with the rest of the world. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And when do we open up the country again? Huh? When is it? And who is it that's going to make the decision? Will it be the president or the governors? Well, we'll talk about that with our eye in the sky, Angelo Ceresi. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 worst names for girls. Yes, there is a top 10 for that. So stay tuned for it. By the way, we are sponsored here at Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best barbershop I have ever gotten a haircut in. And when they get back up and running, which I hope is very soon, you got to get over there. They're located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That is on Overcash Drive. It is just north of State Road 580, which is Main Street in Dunedin. Andrew's Master Barbershop, by the way, typically open Tuesday through Saturday, 8:30 to 5 on weekdays, 8:30 to 2 on Saturday. Well, Ed, it's good to be back. And I missed you and all that good stuff. And you held down the fort. And let's see, we got a lot of things to talk about. I mean, I guess every day I see two politicians on television. One is the president, and the other is the governor of New York. Now, I don't mind seeing the president every day, but why do I have to see the governor of New York every
day?
I'm getting tired of him.
We were talking about that last. I mean, he's a camera whore, which we call the camera whore.
Yeah. He loves it.
Yeah, if you watch DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, our governor, and he's asked a question at his press conference, he looks at the person that asked the question. Now, watch Cuomo. He pans left to right, left to right. He gets charts out. This is the hospital. These are patients. These are doctors.
You know what? You even start to sound like.
And when they all come together. And of course, then he says, oh, and that reminds me of another story. He's way off. I mean, he just.
I'm getting tired of listening to that guy.
Yeah.
Now.
He's obviously learned from his brother how to keep the cameras in.
Yeah, they both have that showmanship.
Well, his brother's the reporter forever, you know, with CNN and ABC before that.
That's true. He's been around doing all of that stuff for a long time. Isn't his brother the one that got the virus?
Yes. Well, we heard the whole story.
He actually almost had an emotional breakdown on television, by the way. No, and that's very, very understandable. But he did.
We heard the whole story, how his brother was quarantined in his basement. Even the dog wouldn't come downstairs.
Oh, it's horrible.
He had to get his coffee from someone else.
Coffee. Why am I laughing? Because
that's Cuomo. That's Cuomo. He can make a sentence last. He's worse. I never thought I'd say this. He's worse than Obama at dragging out a speech.
Yeah, Obama was a master at that. By the way, I got to ask you this. I have to admit, when the Trump briefing, I guess we call it the coronavirus briefing or pandemic briefing, comes on. You know what part I look forward to? The part where he gets the questions from the press. I can't help it. I look forward to that. To me, that's the meat and potatoes of the entire briefing, because you know they, and he'll call on them too. You know that some of those people have been waiting with their teeth out. Isn't that true?
I look forward to when Dr. Fauci,
Fauci. You're starting to sound like Andrew the Master Barber. He calls him Dr. Fauci, makes him sound like he's Chinese.
When that little leprechaun steps up to the podium and you can barely see his chin.
I kind of like Fauci. I know that Andrew doesn't. Maybe you don't either. I don't like him.
He keeps changing. his story.
Does he?
Yeah. Well, he's the one that said as many as 6 million could die.
Well, everybody projected.
Then it was 200. Then it was 100. Yeah. Now it's 60.
Look, nobody knew.
You don't know. Don't scare everybody like that for crying out loud.
Yeah. I think they had that range. What about, do you like that Dr. Birx, the woman?
I don't have an opinion either way.
Okay.
That doesn't rub me wrong, doesn't.
Yeah, you don't feel one way or the other.
She looks like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she does.
She's not grandstanding.
No.
That's what I asked. Just give us the information and don't grandstand.
She sounds like she really knows her stuff. I got to tell you that she comes off as very knowledgeable. In fact, I like Fauci. I like him. Now, remember, Trump picked these people, and I think it's to his credit.
I know.
And another person that's doing his job is the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really looked good.
Yeah.
I really think he has looked good in this moment. He is somehow, I don't know, there's something about him that he's a soothing force, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Got to give him credit for that. Okay, why don't we do this? I can't wait to talk with Kent Lassman, who is going to join us in just a moment. He's president, by the way, of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about government regulations we just gotta get rid of, especially now.
For the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high, must be the season. When that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon.
We're back on a Monday morning. Everybody hunkered down, I hope, safely, and delighted to have Kent Lastman, who is president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Great, great organization that fights on behalf of business. And we're going to talk a little bit about something they had on their website recently, how to spot a never-needed regulation, and particularly now, the kind of things we got to get rid of in the world of the government regs. Kent, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you hunkered down safely somewhere?
I am boxed up in a little house in Northern Virginia with my wife and four kids. Hedgehogs, some guinea pigs, a dog.
Oh, God love you.
This is hunkered if I've ever heard of it.
Oh, my God. You know, this is the time I guess we all get to know each other a little bit better, including the guinea pig, the dogs, the cats, the mice, and everything else, you know, because we're at home more now than we've ever been, right?
That's right. That is exactly right. Time for the human connection.
It is. It really is. All right. Well, one thing we're trying to get rid of and trying to speed up, I think, are these regulations that we've always talked about this, and I know you guys have been in the forefront, fighting these regulations that just slow everything down, that get in the way. And, of course, Donald Trump has been known to some extent for getting rid of some of these regulations that we have all seen, apparently, have increased, have made our economy better and everything else. We've seen that. So you've got a bunch of regulations we don't need, and perhaps you can share some of them with us, Kent. I know Brian Young did a little piece on how to spot never-needed regulate. What is a regulation that is never needed?
Well, these regulations are certainly becoming evident to everyone. People involved in policy and politics, people who've never really thought about the way the government operates, people from the left, from the right, all political parties. We spotted this extraordinary phenomena about a month, 5 weeks ago, when governors and agency heads, federal agency heads, started suspending different regulatory obligations, just left, right, and center. They were dropping these things, and they were largely in the areas at that time, certainly in health, certificate of need rules, the ability to do medical advice across state lines, telehealth using computer and telephone equipment, education, childcare, all sorts of regulations. But then the trend just kept expanding. So we put together some tools to help lawmakers and regulators across the country spot these, because the temporary suspensions, many of them we think can be permanent. These rules were never needed, and they were certainly some sort of political luxury when everything was humming along fine.
Yeah. Permit me to mention a few of them here. A regulation is never needed if it slows distribution of proven medical diagnostic tests and devices. That's one of them. If it blocks patients' remote access to medical providers, if it increases the cost of energy at a time when Americans can least afford it, if it makes it more difficult to hire employees, if it adds another layer of bureaucracy or complexity to legal compliance, or if it blocks access to capital for consumers or businesses. Now, right now, I'm waiting for my $1,200 check? It hasn't arrived yet, Kent. Where is it?
I think that's lost in the ether somewhere.
I'm wondering.
Maybe it's tucked away in that West Virginia vault where they have a big IOU with all of our entitlement payments. You know, these never needed rules, they're not unique. As I said, we've seen them crop up with governors of both political parties, certainly. But it's not just America. This is a phenomenon that's spread across Europe. So it is also, I think, important to think of this. It's not just medical regulation in the way we're reacting to a pandemic, much of which has been very important. In New York, there was an extensive set of regulatory obligations that would not only increase costs, but slow things down if you wanted to add or grow a medical facility in any way. So when you see hospitals putting up tents in order to take in new patients and test them, there was this huge stack of regulations that was preventing that. All of that set aside in order that hospitals know how to make safe medical environments. That's what they do, not bureaucrats at the state capitol. We saw it then expand into other regulations, trucking and transportation and telecommunications and all of these other access to capital and banking questions. And now I think we have an opportunity not just to look at what is going to help us as a society with an effective response to the problems that we face, these very large problems, but what is going to help us build resiliency into the economy when we start to come out of this health economic crisis. And that is a really important perspective to take and outlook. It requires the lawmakers to pick their head up and look ahead, not too far at all. But the time is right now to start thinking about how we lift this regulatory obligation.
Right. We're talking with Kent Lastman. He is the president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's safely at home right now in Virginia. We're talking about how to spot a never-needed regulation and how even now more than ever we got to move things along. I noticed, if I might mention, Ken, a small business package. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has said yesterday that they're getting closer to another deal to replenish this emergency fund, $350 billion. I must tell you, when I look at all of these funds, certainly the administration seems to be trying to do just about everything they can to, you know, to prop up businesses and the stock market, and, you know, I think Donald Trump is trying to be very positive about everything. Do you think all of this money that we're helicoptering around in general is going to help, is going to make things better?
Well, I think of it like the health of a patient. It is a triage. It's putting pumping blood into somebody at an accident scene or a oxygen mask while you're in the ambulance. It's appropriate to do. When you do it, as we are doing now, they're probably going to pass another bill this week that you were describing. There is tremendous waste. There is tremendous easily spotted mistakes are put into these bills. You know, they're spending money on things or getting money to people that don't need it, and the people who do need it are missing out. Notwithstanding all of those costs, all of those known errors that will be happening, I do think there is a role here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mistake. It's a common mistake. It's unfortunate. A lot of folks like to think of the economy and economic activity like an on-off switch, like electricity, or priming the pump. You know, when we used to have carburetors that people understood how to work on, you know, you'd put a little gasoline in the in the engine and get it going.
I remember those
days. That's not actually how the economy works. It's more like a nervous system. And when economic pathways habits, supply chains. When these things get disrupted, they're not turned on or off so much as they're destroyed. And this flood of federal money, which in any normal circumstance, 999,999 times out of a million would be the wrong path to take. This flood of federal money is keeping some of those pathways alive, which is to say they're keeping people employed that otherwise businesses would fail.
It's like
they're keeping supply chains live so that they don't have to be rebuilt, because when that supply chain breaks, you know, when businesses in the middle of a six-step supply chain go bankrupt, all the others start to fail.
That's a scary scenario. You know, it is a war, right? I mean, we really are. It's a war. It's like the commander-in-chief, the president, has to take over and basically, you know, control this kind of a thing, I guess, as in we're doing battle. Do you see it that way?
If only. the difference, I think it's important to note, when a military metaphor, military battle, the commander-in-chief, there's a unified chain of command. By design, we do not have a unified chain of command with the economic policy. We distribute a lot of authority purposefully, because that tends toward limiting the growth of authority in government. It tends toward keeping authority with individuals to make decisions for their own lives. And that's what we cherish,
right?
And want to defend. So going into battle right now on the economic questions, you know, we have distributed authority, not a unified chain of command. We also have people with different views on how to get it done. You know, if you're in the Navy and you don't like what the boss tells you to do with your ship, you can resign your commission. But if the boss tells you to sail the ship into the sea, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So different political parties, different views on the way the economy works, different regions of the country having different needs. You know, I think it's important to remind listeners and even when we visit with our families. All this technology brings us closer, but America is still a continent-wide nation. There is no reason to believe that Portland, Maine, and Portland, Oregon are going to need the same things. And the distribution of that power and authority means that we're going to have to count on mayors and governors to make good, smart decisions based on those local conditions and the sort of limits that we're willing to accept on our personal autonomy will vary. And that's appropriate and a good thing. We need to allow for that and encourage some experiments here on how we start showing more economic activity than we currently have.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in it, groping in the dark a little bit together. And like you say, we're not going to switch a light on. You know, it's not an on-off kind of a deal, right? I mean, we're going to be kind of like lifting the rug a little bit and letting a little bit more out. You know, more and more we're opening things up a little bit, the box, whatever you want to call it. As time goes by, kind of making sure as we do it that we're...
Well, there will be fits and starts. And that's, you know, we're all cooped up a little bit. We're all anxious about our businesses, our families, our families' businesses, et cetera. One thing that I think people need to get their head around is the idea that as we... you know, let in a little sunlight and start the economic activity a little bit more, we're going to get some things wrong and have to, you know, go back a step, two steps forward, one step back. Some places will take 3, 4, 5 steps forward, and that'll be wonderful, and we should celebrate that. but it will not be a linear progression, just turning on the light switch and going back to the way things were in 2019. There have been, to put this in perspective, there have been more jobs lost in the past month than were created in the decade prior.
Oh, boy.
So that is a lot of people very recently struggling to figure out, well, what am I going to do going forward? What am I doing with, how am I making my car payment? How am I taking care of groceries?
Right.
Where should I go look for work? Those habits, people are industrious and entrepreneurial, and they want to provide for themselves and their families. But right now, as they look around, it's hard to exercise the habits if the economy is in this lockdown and partial freeze.
Right.
So we are going to see this go forward in fits and starts, and I think that's going to be hard for people to adapt to.
It's kind of a scary new scenario for people. I mean, 3 months ago, nobody had any idea of what
I will
was
tell
to
you,
come.
It's not all doom and gloom. The wealthiest nation in the history of the world is America. And we're wealthy not just with physical attributes, buildings, cars, money. We're also wealthy with tremendous civil society institutions. The leadership on that front has just been tremendous in the last month and a half. And I think there's going to be a real renaissance, people coming to appreciate this voluntary sector of our lives. I hesitate to call it the voluntary sector of the economy, because that makes it sound like people are not working, they're just volunteering somewhere. But our churches and synagogues, our community centers, the food banks, even in the health sector, the amount of work that is being done to help people stay healthy, stay on their feet. America is the richest place ever for that sort of thing. And when it comes time to build an economy with tens of millions of people who want to contribute in that sort of American way, that sector will be a real boon to us. And I think we should be optimistic about what it means for putting things back together.
Absolutely. And I'm glad we ended it on a positive note. We will overcome this. We always have. Thank you so very much, Kent, for staying, for being with us on this, and stay safe. I know we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. All right, Kent Lastman of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. Going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to go to our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, and find out what he thinks. When do we open up the country again, and who's going to make that decision?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and saves lives. That's courtesy of RNC Auto and Truck Repair, your complete auto shop with quality work at prices you can afford. For a free estimate, call 727-447-3343. That's 727-447-3343 for RNC Auto and Truck Repair in Clearwater.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, on April, and delighted to have, as per usual every Monday, our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. And Angelo, we are getting more FaceTime from Governor Cuomo of New York than I think even the President of the United States. And, of course, that is still New York City area seems to be the center of all the madness when it comes to this pandemic. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about your thoughts about when we are going to be able to start opening up our country again. You feel that pent-up energy, do you, you know, with people? Go ahead.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Sure.
I appreciate you having me on. I don't know, I think, as your last guest said, it's going to be, you know, a little at a time, depending on the area of the country and the governors of each state, how they're going to open up the country. You know, I mean, New York State, our governor, Cuomo, he says we're still going to be in pause until May 15th, and then they will review it again.
Right. But that affects areas like yours, which may be not as bad as New York City itself, right? You're about 5 hours or so away.
Well, about 6 hours, 7 hours away. Yeah, from Albany and Albany is a couple hours, three, four hours, I think. Now but New York City is like 6 hours away, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Rochester area.
Rochester is a large city. So, well, you got New York City, then you have Buffalo, New York, and then, of course, Rochester.
Rochester's third biggest. Okay.
Rochester is the third biggest city in the state of New York.
How is it doing with this pandemic?
Well, we've got 1,016 cases. We've had 19 new confirmed cases. Our Monroe County, we've had 71 total deaths out of the 1,016 in Monroe County.
Okay.
And they're opening up some stuff like the golf courses and stuff like that.
They are? Golf courses?
Yeah, he's releasing some things to open a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like your last guest said, it depends on the area. You know, the United States is a large continent, so to speak. Not continent, but North America, you know.
Right.
And each state is different. I guess, you know, there's so many different things that are happening, and each thing is unique in each state. So I think it's going to take time. You know, you got two trains of thought. Some people are afraid to go all the way with opening it all up. This way you have more cases happening without being tested. And then you have another train of thought that open it up a little at a time, like the president was saying, leaving it up to the mayors, and he's working with his administration. He's working with the mayors in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, the local, you know, with the governors of each state on how to deal with the opening of the country.
Right. Now, we've got governors that are, you know, making decrees about their states, like Governor Cuomo in New York. We have Ron DeSantis here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the president. And I think it seems to me, you can tell me what you think, that President Trump is basically saying, look, the governors are going to start allowing a little more sunlight in as per what they think is going on, and we're going to be behind them on that. As an example, here in Florida, Governor DeSantis is now allowing certain beaches to open up as long as people maintain a social distance. We have a beach up in Jacksonville, Florida, one of the big beaches there along the Atlantic Ocean, that is opening up. So, you know, and then out west in Washington State, in certain areas there, and maybe Idaho, where they don't have as much of this thing, you know? So I guess so what do you think? Do you think that Trump is kind of working in, do you feel he's working well in concert with the governors right now?
Yes, I do. This poor guy, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you got Cuomo politicizing it a lot, you know? He's trying to, you know, make, you know, show his presidential prowess, I guess. And, of course, he's going to get a lot of time on TV because, you know, New York City, and this is where the pandemic really is, the
right.
epicenter. So he's going to get that airtime.
No, that's certainly understandable why he's getting the airtime. And
I mean, you know, let's face it, New York State has, we've had the largest deaths total, you know. And but you've got some of the mayors, you got that mayor, the governor of Michigan, she's trying to vie for the vice presidential spot on the Democratic ticket. You got Elizabeth Warren. So she'll take the job, you know. They're all vying for this thing.
So it's going to be a woman running with Biden. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Is it going to be a woman?
Well, I you know, I don't know.
It is, you know. It will be a woman because Biden said it's going to be a woman.
You know, it could be a woman. But then again, you've got that draft Cuomo, too, you know.
Well, Cuomo claims he doesn't want to have anything to do
with
the White House.
Is, you know, he can claim all he wants. Well, I don't want, I'm not going to run. But what if they come up to him and they say, hey, we want you to be on our ticket, blah, 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 this and that. And all he's got to say is, well, you know, for the good of this country, I'll accept to do it. That's how he's going to do it.
Well,
let's face it. You know, they're politicians.
Well, he might accept. Are you saying he would accept being vice president to Joe Biden?
Why not? Because then
really?
But then they'll take, sure, because they'll take, they'll pull the 25th Amendment on him and
They'll declare Joe Biden unfit for office.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Now, probably be a
now
woman because...
I see where you're going with this. You and your brother.
I don't know.
Your
brother,
Andrew.
I know.
You both got these things going on here.
Well, you know, you got so much stuff going on with this contentious presidential race. It's unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, the Democrats have politicized this coronavirus to the hilt. It's terrible what they have done.
Did you see Nancy Pelosi on the weekend by any chance? She was on Fox News.
She was on Fox News?
Yeah, she did an interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News
Chris
Sunday.
Wallace.
You didn't see that, huh?
I didn't see it, no, but I heard.
Well, she gave President Trump an F.
What else is she going to give him?
Well, why couldn't she give him a C minus?
She won't
gave
do
him
that.
An F. That in other words,
they want to get him out of there.
He's doing right. He's failing. Complete failure. That was so.
Did you see what Dr. Ben Carson put on Facebook the other day about how this president has been unjustifiedly given by the Department of Justice, a coup that has happened with the Department of Justice and all the innards of the Democratic Party and everything. And he says he will stand by this president because they have unjustifiably went after this president for no reason at all and with a coup to try to get rid of this president.
You mean over the last several...
over the last several years,
yeah. Oh, there's no question that the Democrats...
I mean, if you and I
everything.
Did something like that, we'd be in jail right now.
Right.
These people should be brought up on charges for treason and locked away for life.
Well,
but you know, but this thing, this coronavirus is, I guess, very deadly. A friend of my wife's, she's a nurse up here at the Rochester General Hospital, and I had asked her, I texted her and asked, Mayor, is this thing as bad as they say it is? And she goes, without a doubt.
Really?
This is one of the most, she was my cardiac nurse when I was in the hospital last year.
Okay.
And she's in another department now, but they got them working all, a lot of the cardiac nurses working in different departments now because of this coronavirus. And she says, people are dying. This virus is more deadly than they've ever worked with.
Really?
And she says,
especially
yes,
for older people, right? Especially for older people.
Yeah, older people.
People with weakened systems.
People with weakened systems.
Okay.
And it's very deadly. It's very, very contagious.
Yeah. I mean, it's running amok through the nursing homes.
Yes, it is. Good thing my mom's not around now. she probably would have caught it at the nursing home had she been in there by now.
They're so fragile, those people. You worry about them getting this kind of a thing. And then you worry also about those healthcare workers that work in these places, too.
Yes, I mean, they're so prone to get it. I mean, let's face it. They're
real heroes. You know that, those people? Real heroes.
They're on the front line of it.
They are on the front line of it. I think
a lot of people, you know, they talk about social distancing. You know, I mean, are the people going to do the social distancing, you know, on the beaches? You see on the news, the young people, they still congregate together on the beaches, right?
Yes.
So then they're going to get in.
Yes, they do.
You know, they're going to be in front of older people, right? And it's going to pass on to them, even though it might not affect them. They can be a carrier. And then, you know, this is why they have to do this testing also, you know?
It's a combination, isn't it? They got to do testing. They got to figure out. But, you know, testing is only as good as the moment you do it. Unless you're testing for people that are, what do they call it, that have the antibodies.
Right, and are
immune therefore, to it. Therefore they must have gotten it and gotten over it, and they're actually okay, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, testing somebody for whether or not they have it, they might not have it that moment. They walk out of the testing place and they get it.
Yeah. So that's why it's going to take a while for this country to get back onto its feet, you know? I mean, to get the economy rolling again, to get the people back to work. Some jobs, I mean, never even come back.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I worry
about those people in those little companies that, you know, they're sitting there and they're literally falling completely apart. They won't have anything when we finally get them up and running again.
Oh, it's gonna be quite a while. It's not going to happen this year, I can tell you that.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a complicated process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for what the president has done, I mean, you can see he's tired, you know, when he does those briefings every day and everything. This guy has been working so hard. And a lot of it, I believe, myself, now this is just me, I believe this could have been maybe averted a little bit had our government not gone through with this goofy, phony impeachment back in January and February.
We took our eye off the ball of our running our country, yeah.
They dropped the ball. They were so focused on impeaching this president. That's all that they had their eyes on. Their target was Donald Trump, not this virus thing. I mean, here he's supposed to be running the country. He's supposed to be doing this. His advisors are advising him on the impeachment. You got advisors, different advisors advising this guy on the coronavirus. Some are saying it's going to be bad. Some are saying it's not. How can you focus when you got all this stuff coming at you at once? They distracted him. And if Nancy Pelosi gave him an F, she should resign as Speaker of the House. She dropped the ball.
Yeah.
As one part of this government, as Speaker of the House, one part of the branch of government that oversees what's going on, she got F, E, and all of it. She failed this country big time. And the focus should be on her for dropping the ball, not the president.
My friend.
She dropped the ball.
Uh-huh.
And the Department of Justice dropped the ball because they were trying to go after this guy, trying to get rid of him on this Article 25.
Yeah.
The Amendment 25, whatever.
Right.
That they dropped the ball on seeing this thing happening.
Right.
They're the ones that caused this country to be in the situation that it is now. It probably was going to happen, but it wouldn't have happened to the extreme that it has.
Yeah. Angelo, it is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And I'm glad to hear you're sounding good, energetic. Keep that up. We're going to look forward to talking with you, God willing, again on Monday of next week.
My pleasure. I enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Guys, stay safe.
We will.
And healthy.
You too.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Angelo Ceresi, our eye in the northern sky, going to take our final break. When we come back, China might be an even bigger villain in this crisis than we realize. Trying to corner the market on personal protective equipment. Oh, 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 oh.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow again, too, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Network. By the way, Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. So if you go to our website, you can hear us anytime, ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Well, yesterday, Peter Navarro, he is the White House trade advisor, was making the rounds, and he said during an interview on Fox News that China has cornered the personal protective equipment market. Now, wasn't bad enough that they suppressed information on this virus when it first got out into the public, right? They suppressed the info on it. And all of a sudden, we've got all of these people. What do we got now? We got over 166,000 people that we know of that have died worldwide from this virus, about almost 41,000 here in the United States, right? So anyway, Navarro, who is also the National Defense Production policy coordinator, made the comment saying multiple sources have increasing confidence that the outbreak, first of all, likely originated in that laboratory, that scientific laboratory in Wuhan. Now, that lab was next to these open markets. But he's saying that they have a lot of sourcing that now says the thing got out of hand in the lab and then got out into the market area. And it wasn't intentional. It wasn't intentional, according to what he is saying. But then China just decided to cover the damn thing up, resulting in all of these deaths because we were not able to take action sooner. So he goes on to say, not only did they hide this, but now they are hoarding personal protective equipment and profiting from it. And he referenced the fact that many states have been dealing with a shortage of what they call PPE equipment for healthcare workers. And so maybe one more reason that we've got to start making sure that we get away from getting things made in China. I think, you know, after all of this is said and done, I think China is going to be suffering a huge black eye for a long time in this world. All right. Ed, it is time for us to do our top 10. We haven't done it in a week. You don't even probably remember where the drums are. But, yeah, I think this is a good one. This comes from parents.com. And believe it or not, they have come up with the top 10 worst names for girls. Now, how they came up with this, and I don't know if they did a survey or what, but wait till you hear some of these names. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Top 10 worst names for girls. Number 10. Pansy.
Pansy?
Pansy. People. Like, P like Paul.
Yeah.
Pansy.
I thought you could call somebody a pansy. That used to be a name for a weakling, pansy.
Yeah, a pansy, exactly. Better, okay. I guess it's better on a girl than a boy, but if it's a boy, well, you really must not like him. All right, number 9. Vegas.
For a
girl? For a girl. Have you ever heard Vegas for a girl?
No.
Ever? Well, maybe that's one of the reasons, because it's a lousy name. Number 8. I don't know what this is. Any. A-N-Y. Any. Not Annie. Mm-hmm. Not Amy.
Any. Okay.
Any. I never even heard of it.
Imagine, have you seen any? Any what? Any.
Yeah.
Any what?
Any what? No, any. Okay, number 7. Blakely.
Wow, that's a dude's name. That's Blakely.
Blakely. Blakely. Listen to this. It's spelled B-L-A-Y-K-E-L-E-E. Blakely. I wouldn't even want to write my name if it was Blakely.
See, somebody just put the letters in a bowl and shuffled them up and threw them out on the table.
Oh, wait till you hear the next one. Number 6. Starlet.
Starlet.
Now, that puts pressure on you. Why don't we hear not, don't want to be a starlet?
Yeah.
You like starlet? Not Scarlet.
It's not the worst name on that list.
Not Scarlet.
I know. I'm saying
Starlet.
Starlet. You know the girls are named Star. Starlet.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the worst name on that
list. Okay. No, it's not. I agree with you on that. Number 5. This may be one of the worst names on the list. Khaleesi.
Yeah.
K-H-A-L-E-E-S-I. Khaleesi.
I guarantee wherever that girl goes, somebody will always ask, how do you say your name?
Exactly. Khaleesi. All right. Number 4. Oh, wait a minute. Chardonnay.
Okay, now we're naming wine after wines. Okay.
Chardonnay.
Okay.
Can you imagine that? Chardonnay. Hey, Chardonnay.
So which one of your parents had the drinking problem?
Okay. Number three. Sincere. But when do you hear how you spell it? Sincere.
C-I-N. C.
Yeah.
I-E-R?
Yeah, you're close.
E-I-R.
C-Y-M.
Oh.
C-E-R-E. Okay. Sincere. There was a song that used to be called Are You Sincere, by the way. All right. Number 2. Oh, this is funny. Mattel. Mattel. M-A-T-T-E-L. Mattel.
So you made all those games. Games by Mattel. Right,
do you have anything to do with Monopoly, ma'am? Mattel? What the heck? All right, Ed, here we go.
I have no idea.
You wouldn't get it. I wouldn't get it. Nobody would get it. The number one worst name for a girl. Shy.
Shy.
S-H-Y. Shy.
Okay.
What do you think?
Again, that's not the worst name on the
list.
No,
it isn't. But they think it is.
Yeah. Probably Blake. I would say Blakely is probably the...
What if you're not shy? What if you're outgoing and your name is Shy?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't see the name outgoing on the list, but you do have the name Shy. That's kind of weird. Which one of these names? I think I would say that either Sincere or Chardonnay was the worst. All right. Anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow. If you will stay safe, please join us 10 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow on Freedom Works. In the meantime, bye for now.
Someone's playing in the garden. So enticing, should I take a